Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Bet Aleph, about a third of the way down by the two dots. Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Bet Tzayatayim, that there is a cap on the size of what you're allowed to do for Pasei Biraot, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the size of Beit Tzayatayim. That is the area that is equivalent to the Chatzer Mishkan, which was 100 amot by 50 amot, or 5,000 square amot. Or if you say the square root of 5,000, squaring it out, it would be 70 and 2/3, roughly, by 70 and 2/3 amot. So Yibai Elohu, the Gemara wants to know, Bor Pasim Kamar, when Rabbi Yehuda caps it out at Beit Tzayatayim, is he speaking about the Bor itself and the Pasim? O Dilma Bor Velo Pasim Kamar, or is he saying that that's the maximum size of the Bor without the Pasim? So as Tosafot points out over here, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that you can't remove the Pasim from the Bor more than 2 Amot. And that's what we saw in the Mishnah, that the Rosh Over Rubov of Para is 2 Amot, and therefore the minimum size of what you can have a Pasim around a Bor was 2 Amot away. The Tosafot suggests, based on the Gemara later on here, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that that's both the minimum and the maximum the Pasim can be away from the Bor. He also has another maximum size, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, which is Beit Satayim. Now the question is, when he said Beit Satayim, did he mean the Bor itself can be up to Beit Satayim? Then plus, on top of that, you can have 2 more Amot, which are the Pasim that surround it. Or, when he said Beit Satayim, he meant the Bor plus the extra 2 amot of the pasim around it. That total area is the Beit Tzayatayim. And here the Gemara explains what that difference of opinion is. Because, Adam noten einav biboro, does a person, when he's focused on the Pasei Biro, just focus on the Bor itself? And therefore, when he looks at the Bor, he sees a Bor that's Beit Tzayatayim, that hasn't exceeded Beit Tzayatayim, below Gazrinon, and therefore we don't have to put in a Gzerah, then we don't have to worry about an area that is hukaf shalot de dira, karpaf for those areas outside of the city that are not hukaf de dira, which have a maximum size of Beit Satayim. If it's above Beit Satayim, you're not allowed to carry in there midrabanan. And so what we're worried about here is that people are going to extrapolate this din of Pasei Biraot and apply it to a Karpaf. And so what Rabbi Yehuda says is that we have to cap out the Pasei Biraot at Beit Satayim so people don't confuse that with a Karpaf. Not that necessarily he disagrees fundamentally with Chachamim, that this is an area that's Hukaf L'dira, which has no maximum size to it, but nevertheless, because of its confusion with a Karpaf, because the Dira here is simply the Bor with the water in it, he suggested that we cap it out at Beit Satayim. So do we say the person, when he's looking at the Pasei Biraot, focuses on the central area, which is the Bor itself? As long as that's within the limits of Beit Satayim, he's not going to extrapolate that to a Karpaf to say you can use more than a Beit Satayim. Odoma Adam notenina v'michitzato, or is the person focused on where the Mechitzot are? And now when he looks at the Mechitzot, he says, I have a Bor that's Beit Satayim, plus I have another 2 Amot of Mechitzot to go out of it. It means that I can have Mechitzot around an area that is greater than Beit Satayim. And therefore, the problem is going to be, Gazrinin, Domati Lechufa Yoter Bi Beit Satayim Rekarpaf. If we allow him to do that, he's now going to get confused, and he's going to think that he can have a Karpaf that's larger than Beit Satayim, surrounded by Mechitzot, and that would be Mutar to carry in it, just like he's doing that with the Pasei Biraot. So again, just restate the question. Question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who maxes you out of Beit Satayim, is the Beit Satayim the maximum size for the Bor? And then on top of that, you get an extra 2 amot around it to put up the pasim, because we're only focused on the Bor. Or is the Beit Satayim maximum of Rabbi Yehuda include the pasim, meaning that the Bor plus the Mechitzot around it, which can only be a maximum of 2 amot away from the Bor, they have to max out at Beit Satayim? And that's to do with the confusion with a Karpaf. Do we worry about you confusing this with a Karpaf, and therefore permitting surrounding a Karpaf that is larger than Beit Satayim and carrying in it, even though it's not hukaf l'dira? So Tashma, as the Gemara says, Kamehin Mikuravin, how close, what's the minimum amount of a Pasei Biraot away from the Bor? Roshav Rubashel Para, the Rov and the Rosh of a Para, but Kamehin Meruchakim, and how far can they be away? What's the maximum size they can be away? Afilu Kur, Afilu Kuraim, even up to a Kur, which is 30 Sa'a, Kuraim is 60 Sa'a, in a very large area, because according to the Chachamim, it's an area that's Hukaf L'dira, and area that's Hukaf L'dira has no maximum size in terms of what can be surrounded by the Mechitzot, as long as you increase the number of Pasim between the Dumadim, so it doesn't get more than, according to Rabbi Meir, 10 Amot away, or 13 and a third Amot for Rabbi Yehuda. You can continue to expand the size of the Pasei Biraot, according to the Chachamim, and the minimum amount you can have is Rosh Over Rubasho Para, which you already saw was 2 Amot. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Beit Satayim Mutar, Yeter Mi Beit Satayim Asur. Similar to our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's maxed out at a Beit Satayim, more than a beitz of time, you can't do with pasei biraot. Amru le Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, yata mudeh b'dir, v'soar, mukseh, v'chatser. Don't you agree with these areas that they have no maximum size to them? The chatser is the courtyard in front. The mukseh is the backyard where they store things or wood for the household. The deer and the soar are corrals for the animals where they lock them up in order to fertilize the fields or keep them in pens. And all those are what we call hukaf l'dira. And over there, they can be afilu beit chameshet kurim or beit aseret kurim. They can be to any size because those are all mutarim because they're hukaf l'dira. And so to over here, it's classified as hukaf l'dira, at least according to Rashi on the Mishnah, because the waters are potable water that an individual can drink. They are ra'ui la'adam. Because of that, it makes it into an area that's hukaf l'dira. If it's hukaf l'dira, there should be no maximum size in terms of the pasei birot. And Rabbi Yehuda responds to them, Amar lehem, zo mechitza velu pasim. There's a big difference between them. One is a mechitza, one is a pasim. In the Gemara before on Daf Yutet Amud Bet, we saw one of two explanations for this view of Rabbi Yehuda. One is that the parutz is greater than the omeid by the biraot pasim, which is different than other areas where you have full-fledged mechitzot around them. Or is the weakness by pasei biraot, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that you can have gaps of 13 and a third amot versus in a normal chatzer, a normal area where you can only have gaps of 10 amot. So either way, there's a weakness in the pasei biraot, makes them that less efficacious mechitzot than a real mechitza. And based on that, he says that when you have a mechitza garua, when you have a substandard or subpar mechitza, then it's capped out at Beit Sa'atayim. And similarly, that will be the case over here because of the fear that you will then extrapolate this to a korpaf, and we don't want you doing that, and therefore we cap it out at a Beit Sa'atayim. So Melazar Omer, now we have another opinion, which is bor Beit Sa'atayim, a Beit Sa'atayim mutar, that a bor that has Beit Sa'atayim by Beit Sa'atayim, that is mutar. Even though it sounds like Rabbi Shimon Elazar is saying Beit Sa'atayim by Beit Sa'atayim, which sounds like two by two Beit Sa'atayim, or in essence, four Beit Sa'ah, that's the way the Rabbi interprets it. The majority of Rishonim, including Rashi over here, suggests that he just means that it has to be a squared area of a Beit Sa'atayim, not that there are two Beit Sa'atayims that we're speaking about over here. Below Amru La'achik, Elekadei Rosha V'ruba Shel Para. And the maximum you can have the pasim away from the boar is the amount Rosho V'rubo of a Para, which is two Amot. Now, Bahamad Kamar Rabbi Shimon Elazar boar below pasim. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is telling you with Beit Sa'atayim that that's the measurement of the boar, because then he says, above that, you can be marchik the pasim, away from the boar, kedei roshav ruba. If that's the case, then that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, michlau de Rabbi Yehuda. It would be inferred from that, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and holds that it's boar vipasim gamar. The Beit Sa'atayim is the maximum size for not only the boar, but the additional two amot that create the pasim around it, that also be subsumed in the Beit Sa'atayim. Because otherwise, what's the distinction between Rabbi Shimon Lazar's opinion and Rabbi Yehuda? They both believe that Beit Sa'atayim is the maximum. They both believe that the pasim have to be two amot away from the boar. So what's the difference between them? It seems to be the difference is that Rabbi Shimon Lazar counts the Beit Sa'atayim for the boar, and Rabbi Yehuda counts the Beit Sa'atayim for the boar and the pasim. Gemar says, Velohi. That's not true. Rabbi Yehuda boar below pasim kamar. Rabbi Yehuda can say, just like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that we're making the measurement of Beit Sa'atayim is even without the pasim. It's just the boar itself. Yehachi ayinu Rabbi Shimon Elazar. And then in the end, you come back to the problem that we started with, which is now Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Elazar have the exact same opinion. So how do we differentiate between them? Ikar v'nayu arich v'katin. The difference between them is when it's rectangular in nature. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he says it has to be a Beit Sa'atayim squared. And that means that the Chatzer Mishkan, which was 50 by 100, is 5,000 square amot. And therefore, a Beit Sa'atayim is the square root of 5,000, or roughly 70 and two-thirds by 70 and two-thirds, or 70.71 by 70.71. And that gives you an area that's a square area of 5,000 amot. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that the sizing of the boar has to be square, meaning that it has to be something that's shaped in a way at maximum that it has no more than 72/3 amot on either side of the dimensions of the boar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the determining factor is the shetach, which means the area, the 5,000 amot. Doesn't matter how it's structured. Doesn't matter whether it's 50 by 100 or 72/3 and by 72/3. And that's the distinction between their opinions. Therefore, you can't prove anything about Rabbi Yehuda's shita, Because it could be read either way. It could either be that he thinks that it's the boar without the pasim, or it could be boar with the pasim. And even if he reads it as being the, even if we think that his opinion is boar without the pasim, and he sounds exactly like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, there's still a distinction between them there. Rabbi Shimon Elazar requires square 5,000 amot, whereas Rabbi Yehuda just requires an area of 5,000 amot, even though it's rectangular in shape. Now the Gemara continues with a statement from Rabbi Shimon Elazar, which is, Klal amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, kol avir shetash misho ledira. Any area where the primary usage is for a living space, kagon, and examples of that are those areas that the Chachamim mentioned in the Mishnah, deer, v'sohar, mukse, v'chatzer. These are all areas that are adjuncts to where people normally live, and they're hukaf l'dira. Afilu beit chameshet kurim, beit aseret kurim. You can expand the area that is enclosed in the mechitzot, even up to a kor, even up to aseret kurim. And it's mutar to carry in those areas because it's hukaf l'dira. Chodira shetash mishale avir. On the other hand, if the purpose of the usage here is the avir kagon, for instance, things like buganim shebasadot, the huts out in the fields, then beit satayim mutar. Then if it's hukaf, it can only be up to a beit satayim. Yeter mi beit satayim asur. Any more than beit satayim, it would be asur. Rashi over here says that v'chol dira shei mechuse begag, that is covered with a roof, and it's made for the shmira of the area that's outside of it. So Rashi says over here, kol avir, in the first place, is any area, even if it's not mikureh, even as they have a roof on it, im tash mishol dirat adam, the knisal d'tziyat amid, it's an area for the dirat adam that's used for entering and exiting all the time, then that area is considered to be mukaf l'dira, and you can, there's no maximum size of what you can be put inside those mechitzot and still be an area that's considered to be proper to carry in. On the other hand, chol dira shi mechusa begad, even if you have an area that's covered with a roof, if he's asuya l'shmirat avir shechutzala, the whole point of this location or dira is for that which is outside of it, then it's not considered to be mukaf l'dira, and it's maxed out at beit satayim. Going along with what Rashi said back on Tet Vav Amud Aleph, the burganim are not built because people want to live in the burganim. The only reason the burganim are built is because they need to watch the fields that are out there, and they need to guard the areas that are out there. So the hut is built, yes, for people to live in, but they're only living there against their will to take care of the areas or the items that are outside of it. So the main purpose is for taking care of that which is outside the hut. The hut is just a facilitator of that, and therefore it's not considered to be a dira. Even if it has a roof on it, it's the avira. On the other hand, if you have areas that are open, like a chatzer, or a deer, a sohar, or a mukse, but they are hukaf l'dira, which is that they're utilized for the space themselves, that which is internal to them, not that which is external to them. They're made to live in, they're made to go in and out of those areas, even if they don't have a roof over them, they're considered to be hukaf l'dira, and then there's no maximum size that you can have surrounding them with mechitzot. The mechitzot can even be up to 5 kor or 10 kor, it's not a problem because it's hukaf for the dira. Or as we had noted back on Tet Vav Amud Bet, the other possibility as to what it means, tashmisha le'avir, is that the main purpose or utilization of the area is for the space in there, and the mechitzot are just a hechitimse to get there. On the other hand, there are areas where the mechitzot are essential to the utilization of the area. Because without the mechitzot, the area would not be usable or would not have the utility for diur, for living in. Okay, now we continue with the next Mishnah, which is familiar to us because we just saw it back on Daf Chof Amud Aleph, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vayah Derech Hashut Rabim Mafsakatan. If you have a public thoroughfare that goes through the Pasei Abiraot, and over there Rashi suggested that the public thoroughfare could only go through there, there was no alternative except to go through the Pasei Abiraot, then Yisalken of the Tzadim. In order for the Pasei Biriot to be functional, you have to have the Derech HaRabim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, be detoured around the Pasei Biriot so it doesn't ruin the Pasei Biriot. The Chachamim Amrim, Eino Tzarich, you don't have to do that because, just because the Rabim walks through there, doesn't change the fact that you have Mechitzot and that it is a Reshuta Yachid. And that's what Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tarvayu, as we saw before, they both say, Kan hodiacha kochan shel mechitzot. Over here you see the power of the mechitzot according to the Chachamim, because the Chachamim say, despite the fact that the Bakei Beirabim, that there is a public thoroughfare and people are walking through here, nevertheless the mechitzot still maintain their integrity, and it's still considered to be a reshuta yachid, the Pasei HaBiraot, and not a reshuta rabim. Gemara again says, Kan, this is what you would infer from the Chachamim's position, Visvirle, and that would suggest that they also paskin that way. And that's what we saw back on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. That was the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, that he thinks that that's the Chachamim's view, and he paskins that way. On the other hand, Ba'amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that doesn't seem to be the case, because we have a memory from Yochanan about Yerushalayim. Had it not been for the fact that the doors of Yerushalayim were closed at night, the person would be chayav. If you threw something into the area there, it would be classified as a reshut rabim. So it would seem from Rabbi Yochanan that if you have a rabim that goes through there, they do ruin the mechitzot. And since they ruin the mechitzot, the only way to define Yerushalayim not as a reshut rabim is to have doors in the gates that close every night, because that's what stops or seals down the area and makes it that there's no longer Bakei Berabim. That's the only reason that it maintains a Reshut Yachid. But otherwise, it would seem to imply that if there were no gates there, it would be classified as a Reshut Rabim, even though there are mechitzot around the city, because the city is surrounded by walls, or the gateways have a Tzurat HaPetach on them, and a Tzurat HaPetach is defined as a mechitza as well. None of those suffice over here to change it from Reshut Rabim to Reshut Yachid, with the exception of the fact that you can close the doors. So that shows you that Rabbi Yochanan believes that Bakei Bei Rabim, if you have a thoroughfare of the Rabim or people walking through there, it does ruin the Mechitzot. And even though you could distinguish and say that Yerushalayim's thoroughfare or Reshut Rabim was 16 amot wide, whereas the gaps in the Pasim for Rabbi Yehuda were only 13 and a third amot wide, so the reason Yerushalayim might have the status where it can be Bakei Bei Rabim is because it has a much wider area of Reshut Rabim versus the Pasei Birot that has a narrow area. Maybe that would be the distinction between them. So Tosafot says that Yerushalayim has that offsetting factor that the gateways have a Tzuret HaPetach on them. So between the Tzuret HaPetach and the 16 Amot, that's similar to the Pasei Biraot with 13 and a third Amot, and you see a different outcome. By the case, the Chachamim say that the Pasei Biraot are not affected by the Rabim, yet by Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yochanan says they are affected by the Rabim had it not been for the Deltot. So what the Gemara concludes is that Rabbi Yochanan must be Kan Velo Svirle, that he believes that that's the view of the Chachamim, but he does not subscribe to it. And that's opposite of Rabbi Elazar, who he thinks that that's the view of the Chachamim, viscerally, and he does subscribe to it. Rami Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda, Rami de Rabbonon de Rabbonon. We have a stira between their positions, because we have what's in our Mishnah, but then we have the Braita that we've quoted numerous times in the Masechta, Yeter Al-Kain. When it comes to the situation where you have two houses on opposite sides of the Reshut Rabim, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Misha Yulo Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzidei Reshut Rabim, Osola lechi mikan, velechi mikan. You put a lechi on both sides of the Reshut Rabim that passes through to create the third and fourth wall. O koramikan or koramikan. We put a korah there to create the third and fourth walls. But no same and no tem beemsa. And then the person can carry between his two houses back and forth. So what you see from here, at least according to what we're suggesting from here, is that Rabbi Yehuda believes that you need three mechitzot to be midoraita, and two of those mechitzot are provided by the houses on either side of the Reshut Rabim, and the third wall is provided by the lechi or the korah that you put there, which is mishum mechitza, as the Baalei Tosafot say. So now, thinking that you have three mechitzot, despite the fact that Bakei Bei Rabim, this is a public thoroughfare, and you're putting up a lechi to make a mechitza, and people are walking straight through there, it doesn't ruin the mechitza. So that makes it sound like that mechitzot are not undermined by the rabim. Yet in our Mishnah, he says just the opposite. Amrulo, Eim Arvin, Reshut Rabim Bekach. And the Chachamim say just the opposite. They say you can't do this in the Reshut Rabim, which it makes it sound like, according to the Chachamim, that they need four walls to write, and they're also thinking that lechi mishum mechitza or korah mishum mechitza. And given that, you now have Bakei Bei Rabim. The Rabim comes and ruins it for the Chachamim. Yet in our Mishnah, the Chachamim say it doesn't ruin it. So how are you going to deal with that stira? Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha de Rabbanan de Rabbanan. Their opinions seem to be reversed in this Braita versus our Mishnah. De Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda lo Kasha. The contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's position is not really a problem. Hotam de Ika Shtei Mechitzot Maliyoto. You got it wrong. The reason Rabbi Yehuda thinks you can carry there is not because the third wall is created, or the third Mechitza is created by having a Lechi there. Rather, it's because, according to him, in the Torah, two mechitzot are sufficient. And over here, there are two mechitzot that ain't Bakei Bei Rabim. Because those two mechitzot are solid. Those are the two walls or the houses on either side of Reshut Rabim. And there, the Rabim doesn't affect those mechitzot at all. And therefore, it's midoraita, it's good. And once you put up the lechi on either side, that's for heker. And that works because you're ready midoraita to have no problem of carrying. Midrabanan you do, so you use the lechi or the korah on either side to solve your problem, midrabanan. Or according to the Baalei Tosafot, even if Rabbi Yehuda still believes you need three walls midoraita, two of those walls are not ruined by the rabim, and therefore they're able to pull along the third wall, the mechitza of the lechi, you know, Baki by Rabim, it doesn't ruin it because you have two solid walls that are not undermined. On the other hand, by the Pasei Biraot, Leka Shtei Mechitzot Malioto, you don't have two walls. Now, the way that the Rabbeinu Yonatan explains it over here is that because the Pasei Biraot, you have the Parutz, is your term in a Omed, then by definition, you don't have any Mechitzot that are Meulot or good Mechitzot over here, and therefore the Bekiyat HaRabim ruins the Mechitzot because there are subpar Mechitzot from the outset. On the other hand, the way that the Ritva explains it is because of the way the Pasei Biraot are set up, you can walk through any one of the four sides. They're open on all four sides, and you can break or cut through the Mechitzot on any four sides. And that's why it doesn't work according to Rabbi Yehuda. The nafkamina between these two reasons is what happens if you make a right angle that you can't break through or the Rabbim can't walk through. If you create Pasei Biraot with having two solid walls, according to the Ritva, that would be fine according to Rabbi Yehuda, and there too, it would be considered a good mechitza, and even if the Rabbim walked through the other two mechitzot, it wouldn't be a problem. According to Rabbeinu Yonatan, conceptually, there are no mechitzot here because of the fact that the parutz is yoter min ha'omed, and as soon as the Rabbim walks through it, it ruins the mechitzot. So even if you had real mechitzot, it wouldn't help you because you have the parutz yoter min ha'omed, and that parutz yoter min ha'omed always makes it that the whole area is a subpar mechitza, and if you walk through any side of it, it's going to ruin the mechitzot that are there. So that's how we solve the contradiction within the position of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbonon, nami lo kasha, and the steer in the Rabbonon is also not problematic. Hocha ika shem arba mechitzot. By Pasei Biraot, you at least have a semblance of four mechitzot. You have the Dumadim on each side that create a nama in each direction. Therefore, you have four mechitzot over here. Hotam, by the case of the houses on either side of Shut Rabim, Lech Hashem, Dalad Mechitzot. Over there, you don't have a semblance of Dalad Mechitzot, because you have the two walls there, the houses, but on the other sides, the third side and the fourth side, you have a Lechi and a Korah. So according to the Balei Tosafot, it's according to the one who says that Lechi and Korah are Mishum Heker and not Mishum Mechitza, and because of that, they're not real Mechitzot on the other two sides. Other Rishonim, like the Ritva and the Rashba, make a suggestion here that even according to the one who says that Lechi or Korah is Mishum Mechitza, over here they're still not considered to be full-fledged Mechitzot. And since they're not full-fledged Mechitzot, the Rabbim can override them or ruin them as Mechitzot. And as Tosafot points out, the Gemara could have given a different answer, which is that the Chachamim fundamentally, deoraita, agree with Rabbi Yehuda. They only disagree with him, either Rabbanan. If that was the case, then it wouldn't be a steer in the Rabbanan's position. Because over here, the reason they say that Baki Barabim is a din derabbanan. But midoraita, they think the Barabim can't affect it. And by Pasei Biraot, they were mekil to leave it at the din deoraita. So that would be another way to resolve that steer within the Shita de Rabbanan. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Eretz Yisrael, ein chayvin aleha mishum reshut harabim. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, there's no such thing as a reshut harabim inside of Eretz Yisrael. Yotiv Rabdimi. So Rabdimi sat down, become Arle, the high shmaitata. He used to be someone who traveled between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and he's bringing back memro from Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So he's saying over this memro that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan, Amarle Abayi, the Rabdimi. Abayi, who's in Bavel, says, Rav Dimi, my taima. Why does this work? Ileima mishum de makif le suma de tzur. Mehach kisa, umachtana de gader. Mehach kisa. If you tell me that there are natural mechitzot to Eretz Yisrael, up in the north, you have the suma de tzur, which are the cliffs, the clefts, the rocks that rise out of the ocean by Tyre, which is the equivalent of what you would see when you go up the grottos by Rosh HaNikra, which is that you have a very steep rise out of the water over there, which creates the north and northwestern border of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore you have Mechitzot there. And then on the other side, the eastern side, you have the great dips that drop off of the mountains that come into either from the Golan down into the Galil, or by the Bikat HaYarden that come off of the mountains leading down into the Yarden. You have these very steep declines or ditches that are there, and that creates another natural mechitza on the sides. So now you have natural mechitzot that are around it, and according to the Shita of the Chachamim, that when you have mechitzot, the fact that Rabbim walked through there doesn't ruin the mechitzot, now you have mechitzot that should make it that it can't be a reshut Rabbim in Eretz Yisrael. Well, if that's the reasoning, then Bavel Nami. Bavel should have the same din, because mafikalab prat mehach gisa, bedigalat mehai gisa. It has the Tigris and Euphrates. It's in the fertile plain between the two rivers, and the rivers should be able to act as mechitzot on either side, because they have a depth of 10 tefachim, and they're more than four tvachim wide, and they have a steep decline that leads off the embankments of the rivers, and therefore you should have these natural borders that also make it that the same din applies to Bavel. So if you're telling me it's a topographical issue in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel we have something that's similar that creates the same natural borders. So according to this explanation, it would seem that you have only mechitzot on two sides, and this would be according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that midoraita, that's enough. Or there are those that explain Summa de Tzur include the north and eastern borders of Eretz Yisrael, where there are steep mountains that create the border, and the Machta de Gadar is on the southern side of Eretz Yisrael, which gives you the third Mechitza. And with regards to the Tigris and Euphrates, since they come into the delta where they join together in like a triangle, they really are Mechitzot that are on three sides, north, south, and the eastern side. It's only the western side that would be open, and then you have Mechitzot on three sides. Tosafot does point out that you didn't need to do this to ask the question of Yochanan. You could ask from Yochanan Shita itself, but he said Yerushalayim would have had a Yerushut HaRabim in it had it not been for the Deltot. That shows you that in Eretz Yisrael you could have a Yerushut HaRabim. So the Gemara didn't bring that as a question. He suggests, because maybe that statement of Rabbi Yochanan was made alibi to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that the Rabim can ruin Mechitzot. And over here we're speaking according to the Chachamim, who say that the Rabim can't ruin the Mechitzot, and maybe that's why the Gemara did not bring that contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's position. The Gemara continues and says, the Kuli Alma, and for anywhere else in the world, besides Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, Nami Makif Okeanus. You have the great oceans that surround the land masses, so you have natural borders around all these areas that do create Mechitzot. So Bai suggests to Rav Dimi, Dilma Malot Umordot Ka'amar. Maybe you're speaking about the very steep inclines and declines in Eretz Yisrael. It's not speaking about the general area of Eretz Yisrael. There's no such thing as Rishut Rabim. It's speaking about specific geographical regions where you have very steep areas that either go up or go down, and therefore they create these natural borders. Those areas maybe cannot have a Rishut Rabim, as opposed to the whole of Eretz Yisrael, which does not have that distinction. Now, why would there be a difference between these areas that have these very steep inclines and declines where you can't have a Rishut Rabim versus the larger borders or natural borders of all these areas? Why do they not count as Mechitzot? The way the Ritva explains it is because the Mechitzot have to be visible or have to be felt or sensed by the persons that's inside of them. When you're talking about these Malot and Mordot, they're a very closed area or approximate to where you are. Therefore, you have a sensation or a sense of where the Mechitzot are that surround you. On the other hand, when you're talking about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, someone who's in one place in Eretz Yisrael is not going to have a sensation that there are Mechitzot or borders around them, because the areas are way too vast or too wide. Of course, that'd be especially true of other areas where you're talking about the Okeanos, you're talking about the oceans that surround the areas, as opposed to Malot and Mordot. On the other hand, Tosafot makes the suggestion that Yesh Lamar D'Mechitza She'en Asuya B'Dei Adam. It's not a man-made Mechitza, Lo Chashiva Mechitza Kulehai. It's not like a really strong Mechitza, it's a subpar Mechitza. Rafila Rabbanan Moldu D'Atu Rabim Muvatlei Mechitza. And in that case, the rabbi can come and ruin the Mechitza. So Tosafot makes a suggestion. It's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that there's a distinction between the Malot and Mordot, where the Rabim cannot mvake, they can't ruin it, versus the big, larger borders of Eretz Yisrael, where the Rabim can ruin it, and that's why it's unique to Eretz Yisrael. But according to the Chachamim, who don't make such a distinction and think the Rabim can never affect it, it has equal application in Bavel, and even in Eretz Yisrael, would make it sound like that the natural borders that are around Eretz Yisrael should be sufficient. So Tosafot asks, well then, according to the Chachamim, why doesn't it work, these natural borders? So Tosafot, as opposed to the Ritva, answers, it doesn't have to do with your visibility of range of the Mechitzot, but rather the nature of the Mechitzot. Man-made Mechitzot can be as large as you want because they are man-made Mechitzot. Those are full-fledged Mechitzot. Natural Mechitzot have some subparness to them. They're not full-fledged Mechitzot in the sense that they were man-made, and therefore they, Rabim, can ruin those types of Mechitzot. And that's why the natural Mechitzot don't help you unless it's in an area where it stops the Rabim from traversing because it's so difficult, and therefore they can't be Bakei Be'Rabim like these Malot and Mordot of Eretz Yisrael. So Amalei, so Rav Dimi says back to Abaye, Karkafno, you Choshuv individual, Chazite L'Reshech Be'Amudei, I saw your head amongst those that were in the Beit Midrash. Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ha'ishmaitita, when Rabbi Yochanan said over this Memra. So the way the Bali and Tosafot learn it is that Rabba, who was Abaye's Rebbe, did go to Eretz Yisrael and did learn by Rabbi Yochanan. And Rav Dimi is saying, why are you asking the question on me? Your own Rebbe, Rabba, was there when this was said over Rabbi Yochanan, and he has the answer, and he would have been able to give you this information. So why are you challenging me? Yes, we came to a conclusion about what it is or how to solve it, but you could have gotten that from Rabbo. You didn't need to ask me that question. On the other hand, to me it makes more sense the way that Rashi is explaining it, which is he's complimenting Abaye, which is basically you were mechavein to what Rabbi Yochanan said. And that is that it's as if you were there or present when Rabbi Yochanan said this over, because you were mechavein to what he said, which is the malot umordot kamar, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, even though I had forgotten that those were the details or the qualification of his statement. And eat my nami, and we have corroboration of that, because Kiata Ravin, when Ravin came, another one of the Amorim that traveled between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, Rabbi Yochanan, he brought the memory from Yochanan, Rami Lamri Bo Rabbi Yochanan, or was Rabbi Abo brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Malot umordot Sheberetz Yisrael, Ein Chayvelim, Mishun Rishut Rabim. They don't have a dinner with Rabbi Yochanan, ain't kedigley midbar, because they are not like the digley midbar. Rashi over here explains that in the midbar was flat, and that is because the Ananea Kavod went ahead of Bnei Yisrael and they flattened everything else out. So in order to be a Rishut Rabbim, you have to be domel midbar. Domel midbar means it's got to be flat, as opposed to these malot or mordot that are not flat, and therefore they don't qualify to be a Rishut Rabbim. But then the Ritva challenges Rashi and says, if that's the case, why is there any difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlarts? It all has to do with it, Domel Midbar or not. And therefore, the Ritva says that the statement over here is connected to the tail end of the Gemara, where we're going to say that there was a distinction in the way that Eretz Yisrael was distributed. And based on the way it was distributed, these areas that were very inconvenient to use, Yoshua never granted them or areas where the public could go. And therefore they are either a Shuta Yachid, if they have a Chitzot around there, or they have a Dira there, or they will consider it a Carmelite, and not a Rishut Rabim, but it's unique to Eretz Yisrael because of the way that Yoshua divided up the land. So Rachva queried of Rava. So this is a situation we saw back before with the Jumad, which is that you have a very steep incline in which rises 10 tvachim within 4 amot. So if you have 4 amot of distance, it rises already 10 tvachim high. V'rabim bukimbo. Despite the fact that it's very steep, you have people walking over this very steep mound. Chayalim alav mishum reshut rabim. Or ein chayim alav. Does it have a classification of reshut rabim or not? It's 10 tvachim high. It is 4 by 4 at least. Tvachim, it's an area that would be classified as a reshut yachid. But we have the rabbim that are walking over this. Now, aliva the rabbanon lo tibaylach. According to rabbanon, it's not a question. Now, over there, where we were speaking about the pasei biraot, where it's very easy for the rabbim to wind their way through or walk through that area, amri rabbanon lo at the rabbim avat li la mechitzta, despite the fact that it's easy for them to utilize the space, and the rabbim goes through there, doesn't ruin the mechitzot. Hacha de lo nechatash mishtei here, where it's much more difficult to utilize the space, lo kol shekein, and certainly they would say that the rabbim can't ruin the mechitzo, they can't ruin the fact that it's a reshut yachid. Kitibay lo chalibi de Rabbi Yehuda. Your question is really according to Rabbi Yehuda. My, what would be the din? Hotam hu de nechatash mishtei, over there with pasei birot, where it's very easy to utilize it, and the rabbim goes through there. That's why he thinks it ruins the pasei birot and mechitzot of a hacha hu de lo nechatash mishtei, over here where it's not so easy to use these very steep mounds, lo at the rabbim bat le mechitzta. Maybe the rabbim here can't come and override the fact that this is classified as a reshut yachid. Well, do maloshna, or maybe it makes no difference. Amalei, so Rava answers him, chayavin, so he says it doesn't matter, you're chayav as a reshut rabbim. There are rishonim like the Ritva that point out over here, in order to be reshut rabbim, it has to be 16 omot wide, you have to have enough people, shishim ribo, that cross over there. So it has to be a situation where you have a very fast rise in this mound, and then the mound has a plateau on the top, which is wide, and it allows a large number of people to traverse the area over time, and that's why it would be classified as Shuter Rabim. So then Rachba says back to him, Afil Olim Lo Bechebel, even if it's so steep that it's hard to walk up without using ropes to get up there, I'm laying in. He said, yep, still, Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Rabim ruins that Mechitza. Afil B'malot Beit Marom, even in a place where it's so steep that you can't go up except single file and have to wind your way up. This is a reference, Minyona Duyoma, to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that speaks about Kibbenei Maron. We come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, we come before him like the Malot of Beit Maron, where the soldiers or the animals, when they're climbing up, have to go single file, one by one, because it's so steep and so narrow and windy. And so too over here, this is something that's not easy to use. If the Rabbim uses it, does that ruin the Mechitza? it still ruins it according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rova's belief over here is that Rabbi Yehuda's position applies even when it's difficult for the Rabbim to use it. It still overrides the mechitzot that are there when the Rabbim exercise its easement to use that area, and it becomes a Rishut Rabbim. So now Rachva challenges Rova's position over here. Chatzer sherabim nichnasim la bozo biyotzim bozo. If you have a chatzer where you have the Rabbim passes through the chatzer, so a chatzer is a reshut yachid, it has mechitzot on each side, but there's a pirtza, there's a break in the mechitzot of the chatzer, and they're able to enter from one side of the chatzer and exit on the other side. So they use, there's a public easement basically to go through this chatzer because it opened up on one side and the other side, and they started to traverse that area. So now, reshut yachid l'tuma, as far as tumah is concerned, it's a reshut yachid, because the definition for tumah is seclusion, or based on what we know from sotah. So when there's seclusion and when there is the ability to be private, that's when it's a reshut yachid for tumah. Otherwise, it's a reshut rabim. Over here, there's no privacy. There's no limitation as to the number of people are going to be there, and therefore it's a reshut rabim for tumah. As far as Shabbat is concerned, it's reshut yachid for Shabbat. It still maintains its status as a chatzer and reshut yachid. Mani, who's the author of this braita? Ilei marabonon. If you say it's the rabonon, by the case of the Pasei Biraot, where it's very easy for the Rabbim to go through there, they say over there that the Rabbim don't affect the Mechitzot and remains a Reshut Yachid. Over here where it's not easy to utilize it, as Rashi says over here, because even though there are Pirtzot in the wall, there's still sharp things that are sticking up from the threshold down below, or it's uneven on the walls, and therefore they have to like squeeze themselves through. If they move themselves through, it's not so easy. So then, then certainly in a place where it's not easy for the Rabbim to use it, or it's much harder than Pasei Biraot, certainly over there, they're not going to say that it ruins the Reshut Yachid. So what do you have to tell me that for? Elav Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And if you say that, then there's a distinction. Rabbi Yehuda only thinks that the Rabbim ruin it when the Tashmish is easy. But over here, the Tashmish is somewhat difficult or encumbered, then we would say that it does not ruin the Reshut Yachid that's there. And that would be a problem for Rava's position. Tosafot says over here, why doesn't the Gemara just answer that this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato, that two mechitzot are sufficient to create a Reshut Yachid deoraita, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda thinks over here that it remains a Reshut Yachid, even though normally he would say Bakei Barabim. So Tosafot says, V'yesh lomar d'okrochachach benifritza midal ruchot. Has to be a situation in which the chatzer has openings on all four sides. And since it has openings on all four sides, then you don't have any two solid walls to create mechitzot that would then define it as a reshut yachid that the rabbim couldn't be baki ba. Mar says, lo olam rabbonon. It is the rabbonon, reshut rabbim letuma itzrichalei. You're right. With regards to reshut yachid the Shabbat, that's obvious, the rabbonon's position. What we're coming to teach you is the chiddush that it's still classified as reshut rabbim for tum'ah. Tashma. So another case, mivuot and mifulashot, biborot, bishichin, ubima'arot. If you have these mivuot and mifulashot, which means they're open on both sides, that are in a bor, a shiach or me'ara, they're in a cistern, or a built-up ditch, or a cave, reshut yachid the Shabbat. For Shabbat, they're classified as reshut yachid, reshut rabim l'tumah. On the other hand, they have a din of reshut rabim for a tumah. Biborot, salkadatcha, how do you have a mavoi that's going into a bor? It doesn't make any sense. It wouldn't be going through a mavoi that goes into a cistern. Ella liborot. It's a mavoi that leads into a bor. So now you have a mavoi mifulash, which means that it has mechitzot on two sides and it's open on two sides. The two sides that are open opposite each other, one of them leads into the reshut rabim, and one of them leads into a cistern. Now, if the cistern blocked that side off, then it wouldn't be a mavoi mifulash anymore because that side would be closed off. So it has to be a case where that bor seals up the other side, but there's a way to walk around the banks of the cistern that's over there. You could squeeze your way around it.
And as Tosafot points out, that the edges of the cistern have to be at least 3 tefachim away from the sidewalls. Otherwise, they would be batel to the side. You have lavud. And you have to have enough space so that it's considered an independent little strip that you can walk across. And he says, why does the Gemara give an example of a bor or a cistern? Why not can you just say a mechitza that's more than 3 tefachim away from the walls? But Tosafot adds that there's an additional chiddush that even if the rabbim walks through the cistern, they still don't change the dynamic over here, and it remains a reshut yachid for Shabbat.
And over here it says reshut yachid the Shabbat, reshut rabbim letumah. Mani, who's the author of this brayta again? Ilei merabonon. If it's the rabbanon, hashtomah hotam the nechat hashmishtei. By the case of Pasei Birot, where it's very easy for the Rabbim to traverse, Amri Loati Rabbim Ovat Leilo, they still say the Rabbim can't come along and ruin the Mechitzot of Rishut Yachid. Hakad Olo Noicha Tash Mishtei over here, clearly, we're trying to get around this cistern, it's not easy, and it's difficult, and the Rabbim uses it, then certainly, Lo Koshekein, that they're not going to ruin the status of Mechitzot, or the Mavoi that's here, and therefore it would be classified as a Rishut Yachid. Elav Rabbi Yehuda, must be it's Rabbi Yehuda. Mar says, no, the Olam Rabbanon, it is the Rabbanon. Okay, so if it's the Rabbanon, it's obvious. Now again, Rishut Rabbin Latuma, it's Trichalei, needs to teach us that as a classification, even though by Shabbat it's a Rishut Yachid, by Tumah it has a classification of Rishut Rabim, because by Tumah, the only thing that matters is whether it's secluded or private. That's not the case here, because the public moves through here, even though it's difficult, but they're still moving through. There are numbers of people there, and that's not considered to be a Rishut Yachid for Tumah. The Rachma brings now a third challenge to Rova. Tashma, Shvile Beit Gilgul, the paths of Beit Gilgul, as Rashi notes over here, it's a mala gvohav is kufahi Beretz Yisrael. Seems to be a particular location in Eretz Yisrael where it's so steep that you have to wind your way around the mountain to climb the mountain. That's where the galgal. It's like a circle the way around the mountain because of the steepness and the difficulty to climb it. Ukiyotziben, or anything that is similarly difficult to access. Rishut Arachid Shabbat, Rishut Arabim L'Tumah. That's classified as Rishut Yachid on Shabbat and Rishut Arabim L'Tumah. Bezuhu Shvile Beit Gilgul. What is classified as a Shvile Beit Gilgul? Amrei Debei Rabbi Yanai, Kol She'ena Eved Yochol Litol Sa'ah Shel Chedin Ve'irutz Lifnei Sardiot. It's a case where an Eved or some sort of worker can't carry a load of a Sa'ah Chedin on his shoulder and run up before the officer that is there. So that's how steep it is or how difficult it is to use it. Mani, once again, who's the author of this Braita? Ilei Marabonon. If you want to suggest it's the Rabbanon, Hashto Ma'otam Denecha Tash Mishteh. By the case of the Pasei Biraot, where it's easy for the Rabbim to traverse it and to go through those Mechitzot. Nevertheless, Amri Rabbanon Lo Atu Rabbim Vatalei Mechitzta. The Rabbanon said that the Rabbim can't come and ruin the Mechitzot of the Pasei Biraot. Hacha. Over here, the Lo Necha Tash Mishteh. Over here, it's not easy to utilize it. It's so steep that the guy can't run up with a load on his back. Lo Kol Shekein, that they can't ruin the Mechitzot over here. Ela Rav Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yehuda. Now, over here, the Gemara doesn't do what it did in all the other cases and say, no, it's the Rabbanan, and we need it because it's Rishut Rabim Lituma. That's number one. And then Tosafot asks the second question, which is, why do you need Rabbi Yana here? It's clear here that it's so steep that it's Mitlakeit Asara B'toch Arba, that it rises 10 Tefachim in the span of 4 Amot, otherwise it wouldn't be considered so steep that it's difficult to use. So then what do you need Rabbi Yanai to come and tell me how steep this area of Beit Gilgul is? Because we already have a definition of steepness, and it's clear that Beit Gilgul meets that definition of steepness. So Tosafot says that Rabbi Yanai answers both of these questions, and that is, Rabbi Yanai is brought down to show you that the major focus or chiddush of this Braita is about Shabbat. And the fact that the major focus is on Shabbat shows you the Chiddush is about Shabbat and not about Tumah. And that's why the Gemara can't answer here that it's a Rishut Rabim for Tumah according to the Chachamim. And that's why they brought Rabbi Yana, even though it's obvious it's very steep, he's adding that dimension that this is relevant for Shabbat. And that's because it says Kol in the statement of Rabbi Yana, not Afilu. Because if it was trying to tell you that it's a Rishut Rabim for Tumah, you would have to say Afilu. Even if this is true, it's still Rishut Rabim for Tumah. The fact that he formulates it as Kol, that it's anything that has this, that's defining what is considered to be Rishut Yachid for Shabbat. Tosafot just questions over here, why do you need it to be so steep? That is, that an Eved can't run up and on a load. We already had the definition of steepness before, which is that it climbs 10 Tefachim in a span of 4 Amot. So Tosafot says, climbing 10 Tefachim in a span of 4 Amot does not automatically mean that it's inaccessible or not so steep, because it could be built with stairs, it could be built in a way that facilitates your ability to go up. The test is where there an Eved can run up with his load. That's something that does not have ease of access or ease of use. And this is the definition of something that's very difficult to use. And that has an impact because that's what he says. Amalei, Rabbah says back to Rachva, Shvili Beit Gilgul Kamart. When you talk about Shvili Beit Gilgul, those are clearly accepted from the rule. And even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that those don't ruin the Mechitzot. And that is because Yeshua Ohev Yisrael Haya. Yeshua was a great lover of Klal Yisrael. He used to set up the roads and the major thoroughfares throughout Eretz Yisrael. How did he divide up the land? Any place where it's easy to utilize it, Masra the Rabim. He handed those areas over and gave easements to the Rabim to utilize those areas. Any area where it's very difficult to use it, then Masra the Yachid. He gave it over to personal property, and therefore it was not designated for the Rabbim. And as Tosafot says over here, that's only true, Davka Shvili Beit Gilgul, Delo Necha Tashmishtei Klau. It's only these areas that are so steep that it has no real easy access or utilization. Those are the areas that are considered to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, areas where the Rabbim can't ruin the Mechitzot. As Rabbi Yanai said, and we just stated before, that when an Eved can't run up there, it's something that's really steep and really difficult. But if you have a Mavoya Mifulash de Borot, like the other examples we gave before, where the Rabbim go in and still have difficulty squeezing their way around it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would still ruin the Mechitzot over there, because that still can be classified as an area of Reshut Rabbim. And even though it's an area that belongs to the Riachid, since it is at least somewhat accessible, and it could have been given over to the Rabbim, then the Reshut Rabbim comes, or the Rabbim comes and ruins the Reshut Yachid, or status of Reshut Yachid, according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, that's not the case. And this is what the Ritva quoted before as being the reasoning behind the Malot or Mordot in Eretz Yisrael, why you aren't in Chayavim Aleihem, because those are areas that were not driven over to the Rabbim by Yeshua, because they were very difficult to use or traverse. And therefore, there are areas that belong to the Yachid, and even if they're not surrounded with the Mechitzah, or the Yachid is not utilizing them, they still have a din of a Karmelit, and not a din of a Reshut HaRabim. Okay, now we continue with the next Mishnah. Echad Bor HaRabim, Ube'er Rabim, Ube'er Yachid, Osim Lehem Pasim. You're allowed to create Pasei Biriot for the following types of water sources. One is a cistern that belongs to the public, another one is a Be'er that belongs to the public, and the other one is a Be'er that belongs to an individual. Now, the reason being is that because the water is essential to the mechitzot that are there. And so what we want to ensure is that we have a water source that is continuously providing water. So when you're talking about a public cistern, that's both going to be large, and we're going to see in the Gemara other reasons why we don't have to worry about the water running out. And a be'er is an area, a well, which has water, or constant flows of water, so it doesn't matter if it's a rabim or yachid over there, and therefore you can make pasim for it, because the pasim are always going to be good mechitzot, because there's always going to be water there. Al bor yachid, osim lo mechitzak v'ayu tfachim tibi Rabbi Kiva. But if you have a bor of an individual, which is a cistern of an individual where the water could run out, then we don't allow the dispensation of pasei birot, and you have to have real full-fledged mechitzot of 10 tfachim, according to Rabbi Akiva. Yehuda ben Bava Omer, Einu Sim Pasim, Ela Leber HaRabim Bilvad. He says, out of those four possible water sources, only one of them is permissible to have Pasei Birot, and that is the one that is most likely to always have water. And that is the Be'er of the Rabim. That is a well that is a water source of the Rabim. Ulishar, for any one of the other three possibilities, Osim chagurag vo asarat tvachim. You can make a belt around them of asarat tvachim. As Rashi says over here, hekef shel chavalim. Or as Tosafot says here, perish mechitza. You make some sort of substandard mechitza around them, which is you put like strings around them that are less than three tvachim away from each other up and down. And that would suffice according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So you can't use pasei biraot, but you can still use some substandard mechitza, but it's just more of a mechitza than pasei biriot. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo hutru pasei biriot al ber maim chayim bilvad. You're only allowed to have pasei biriot for live spring water. Vitzricha, and why do you need these two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel? You're passing like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, it says only ber de rabbim, and now you're telling me that the only thing you can make a pasei biriot for is a ber maim chayim. I need both of them. The Yashmin Alokha Rabbi Ben Bava. Had you just taught me the Lochas like Rabbi Ben Bava, Hava Mina de Rabim, Vafilu Mikunasim. I would have thought that it is true of a public water source, even if the water is collected there. It means any public water source, whether it is a cistern or whether it is a Be'er. Bahai Dagdani Be'er de Rabim, and the reason he wrote Be'er HaRabim, even though he meant both a Bor HaRabim and a Be'er HaRabim, is Lafukemi Rabbi Akiva. Because he's coming to exclude the position of Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva says everything is good except a bor shel yachid. So along comes Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and says, no, be'er de rabim. It's all about the rabim. And the reason he says be'er rabim is to be against Rabbi Kiva, who says that a be'er of yachid is mutar. And he's going to say, no, it's a be'er rabim and not a be'er of a yachid. The rabim is okay, but not the yachid. Kamash Malon, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda comes away to say, Lohuju Pasei Birot Ela Ber Mayim Chaim. That's why he made the other statement. It has to be a live water source and not a cistern. Vishmein Ber Mayim Chaim, if you just told me that it has to be a live water source, Havmei Loshna De Rabim, Loshna De Yachid. I would have thought it would make no difference whether it's a public water source or a private water source. As long as it's a live water source and not a cistern, it would have been fine. Kamash Malan, Alokhi Rabbiuda Mibava, that it's only a Be'er Dirabim. It's only that which belongs to the public. So each of these two statements determine for me, one is that it only has a reference to Be'er and not to Bor. And that one comes to teach me that it has to do with public and not the Yachid. And so you have the statement that the Halakha is like Rabbiuda Mibava to teach you that it only is about a public item. And you have the other statement to teach you that it's only about a Be'er. And you put the two together, and that tells you that only a Be'er of the Rabbim is mutar to be used to Pasei Be'erot, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and the way that Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, paskins halacha in this case. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Chav Gimel, Amud Aleph.